Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad that you're here this morning. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. And a lot of you are looking at me as like, well, I really need to get up and wake myself up. I'm only kidding about that. But the Apostle Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I don't know what that holy kiss to you may mean or to other people. Would you please pass the peace to the people around you, the peace of Christ, and just pass the peace to maybe two or three people around you and welcome one another in love. It's great to see familiar and new faces. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. And I'll say, peace of Christ be with you. Would you respond by saying, and also with you? Peace of Christ be with you, and also with you. Amen. The scripture lesson, New Testament lesson, is chosen from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 36. You may open your Bible, look at the Gospel of Mark, or you can also look up the screen and follow along as we read together. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please, come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, I kiddingly mentioned that one of the most loving words that I would be able to say in this particular church is, remember that word? In the summertime, I said air conditioning, right? Then some loving person said, "Buddy, get with the program. Take off your jacket." So I did this. I said it not because that I could pursue you or influence you, but I have heard somewhere along the line that a pastor in America a few number of days ago have able to convince his congregation to buy him a private jet over $65 million. Did you hear about that? Or I thought I would chum you up a little bit to say air conditioning, but you say, look at the minister that put on the wall their name suddenly, 1870, and they got with it. No problem. We can handle it. You know what? It's much cooler. I like it. Well, we're not here to talk about air conditioning. We're not here to talk about comfort or having a trouble-free life. We're not here to say, it is well with my circumstances. But we are here to say, it is well with my soul. I believe Christy played that earlier on as before the call to worship as a prelude. It is well with my soul. A lot of people are looking for Jesus this day, as it were yesterday, a day before, 10 years ago, 1,000 years ago, because they need Jesus. People need the Lord, and they needed Jesus, and we all need Jesus. In this particular story, a man by the name of Jairus, he desperately needed Jesus, the touch of Jesus, because no one could help him. He was desperate for Jesus to be present in his life, to come to him, to put his hands on his daughter. For she was sick and now dying. And with faith, with the trust, Jairus came to Jesus and saying, if you just put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live, not only she will be cured, but she will have life. And that's where Mark opened up this story. And then something happened. And Jesus, on his way to go to Jairus' house, a nameless woman appeared. She could have been Elizabeth. She could have been Mary. She could have been Dorothy. Christina, we don't know. But it's just a nameless woman appeared. And she too needed Jesus. The touch of Jesus. So she was moved. She was drawn to Jesus. She was drove to Jesus. And the scripture said, because she was sick. She was sick for 12 long years. I don't know what it meant to wait. It meant to wait for Jesus' healing, to have to wait for 12 years. But in the summer of 2001, I was lying in a hospital bed for 6 hours in emergency room, not because I wanted to be there, but because the summer camp that I helped out at the very last night of that camp, some of the young people decided that they're going to have a pillow fight. And some of them didn't realize that inside that pillow fight was this heavy-duty flashlight with a long tube. And, you know, this one of those really, really that works up in the dark nights of the night and up in the woods. And I get this felt, this hit me on my head, and it's a numbness, and then all of a sudden, this mushy thing's coming out of my eyes right above my left eyebrow. So they took me to the hospital. The camp nurse stopped the bleeding and took me to hospital. But I waited 6 hours to get 5 stitches. It felt like over 100,000 hours and 4,382 days. Waiting to get that stitches for 6 hours. But can you imagine this nameless woman waiting for over 100,000 hours, 4,382 days, 12 years, 12 years. She went to see doctor after doctor, looking for solution, looking for help, looking for healing. And she spent all her income, all her resources, just to look for that cure. Spending all that she had, but nothing helped. Not only that, she grew worse. Bottom line, no one could help her. No one. So she came to Jesus. Here it is. We don't hear any much about this woman prior to this story. We didn't know that she went to church or synagogue or was a religious person. Most likely, she wasn't even near those places were holy places or people. According to the ritual and ceremonial rules of her days, she would not be able to approach anyone without shouting, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." That stigma of sickness, impurity, her past, her problems, her circumstances will always follow her. That she will be identified not as a daughter of God, as a loving person, but always as invalid, unworthy, that she doesn't fit in, and that no one would welcome her. So it makes sense that she would press through the crowd and approach Jesus, desperately so, coming to Jesus and say with faith, and said, "If I could only touch the edge of his clothes, I will be healed. If I could only reach out to Jesus, I would be healed." And the scripture said, as she did, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Faith and healing. Faith that moves to this person, particularly to say, if I could only be near God, that I know that this is my only solution. I know that this is the only way I could be healed, with that complete trust and knowing that God and God alone had the answer to my needs and my problems, and that God can take care of me. And the result, in this case, is the restoration of physical health. First of all, that's what we saw. Then something happened. Jesus could have said, okay, I healed this person, so I got to move on to my next mission, was to go to Jairus' daughter. But Jesus stopped, and within that crowd gathering, he asked, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" Now, that's an odd question, because the scripture said the people were crowding against him. So everybody perhaps will be bumping to Jesus. And yet, Jesus asked this very question: "Who touched my clothes?" Remember, the woman is already healed by this time. And the disciples rightly so asked this question: How could you say that who touched me? Knowing that the crowds are around you. But the woman, realizing what had happened, came and fell at the feet of Jesus and told him and the crowd the whole truth. And here it is. Jesus restoring her, coming from a nameless woman to, in verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Men and women, I don't know why you came into this place today, particularly when I know that one thing I know, you're here to worship God. And I don't know what your needs are, particularly. I don't know what is going through in your mind, in your hearts, and what your needs are when you come to Jesus, to God. But here is the story. The story the woman heard before coming to Jesus. Remember, she heard about the story of Jesus who healed the blind, the deaf. Perhaps she would have this firsthand story or testimony of someone who told her about Jesus. So she was able to move with faith to the one who could help her and restore her. And I want to encourage you that as you come into this place for worship, for fellowship, to experience the joy, the love of God. I want to remind you that our God is not only someone out there distant and far beyond we could ever imagine or reach, but he's here with us, telling us that he is not just God over nature, he's not just God over evil spirits, he is the master, he is God over our sickness and death. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen. That God, the same Lord, who told the disciples and take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. That same Lord is the Lord we worship this morning. And that same Lord is encouraging you, inviting you to come to him with faith to say, Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need you. You are everything to me. You are the air I breathe. You have all the answers. Absolutely, Jesus has the answer to all our problems. Do you need peace? Do you need love? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need wholeness? Do you need healing? Come to Jesus in faith. This woman did. And Jairus, a religious leader, of all his life, he followed all the rules and trying to do the best he could to follow God. And yet in his affliction, in his problems, with his burdens, he learned to trust in God and fell at the feet of Jesus. And he too say, my daughter is dying. No one could help me. Please come and put your hands on her, so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. Yes, you might imagine that, well, this is such so radical things to think that Jesus really has all the answer to our problems, that Jesus is the greatest physician, physical, emotional, and spiritual. That sounds like so biblical, so religious, so churchy to me. It doesn't really make sense. What about my cancer? What about my terminal illnesses? What about this broken relationship? What about my financial troubles? What about my loneliness? What about my confusion? What about my depressions? You named it all. Didn't Jesus heal all the diseases while he was doing his public ministries? Yes, he cared. He cared for you. He cared for your family, your friends, your neighbors. He cares for us. Our job? To be still and know that he is God. That God is the master over everything. He is over our lives. The Lord of our lives. Then you ask me the next questions and say, Pastor Joseph, if that is so, how come those such loving people, Christian people, and godly people pray and pray and pray for healings, but their afflictions were never removed, and that the answer never come or never came? Well, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus on the cross. Remember his suffering. Remember his love. Remember the promise of the scriptures in Romans 8, 38 to 39. It said, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So we say, when the answer never comes, when our affliction is never removed, I want to remind you, as Paul asks and as Paul prays, he prayed three times that the flesh in his thorn, I don't know what that is, but maybe perhaps his sickness, maybe the work of the devil, maybe his own affliction, We don't know, but Paul asked that his own affliction will be removed. But he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Jesus called out. He said, Father, glorify your name in his suffering. So when the answer doesn't come, we remember our God and his goodness, his faithfulness, and the treasure memories that we have in him, and the promise that Jesus indeed is our hope. Jesus is our trust. That he is the way, the life, and the truth. And find him, you will find all those threes. And that same Lord is calling you today, men and women, to trust him. Yes, we do have tears. We do have sicknesses. We do have disease that our Lord knows about, that he cares. And yet we look around the world, and there is so much needs out there. And we just have to say, Lord, you be God in this situation. You be the God of this world, in this community, in this person. You take care of this person, Lord. And I was able to say that a few weeks ago. I was introduced to the best diner in Windham. Last week, I said Windham, and somebody said, no, it's not Windham. Say like the local Windham, all right? So I went to this Windham diner. Okay, some say out of way is around. All right, I'll say Windham, all right? So I'm publicly corrected, all right. And I was introduced to one of the best diner in Windham, and I will not mention which particular you all know, because I saw a lot of you there on a regular basis, all right? And some of the coffee shop, too. I went in, and this is one of those places that are so welcoming, so loving. It isn't like the waiters put the menu down and say, boom, what do you want? It's not that kind of diner, okay? If you ever face that kind of diner, just respond by saying, what do you got? But this is like a place where the place so welcoming, everybody's smiling, you know, and you want to go there every single meal if you could afford it or possible. But I was there and with a friend, and, you know, we just caught this conversation, and just so friendly and so welcoming that before saying grace, we just asked this lady if we could pray for her. And, you know, she continued to smile and said, what? You would pray for me? And kept smiling, and she said, you know, my brother, my only brother, has cancer, and his wife is expecting, and he's about to begin chemo treatment. And said, you could pray for him, but you could also pray for his wife, and who just got the news that he would not be able to see the newborn baby when he comes. Now it's right there, is a need, a desperate need, crying out to God and say, God, you could help this person, whether the treatment works or not, but you are the creator, the maker, the sustainer, the giver of life to this person and this family. So we pray for them. That was an accident, folks. A few days later, I went back because I love the food. And I found out that we share the same exact birthday. And then a few weeks later, I found out that she came in the building that I live with her son as I went out to my mailbox to pick up my mail, that she lived in the same building that I live. No accident. There's no such a thing as accident. The woman coming to Jesus, she had to be there. Jesus had to be there. There was no accident that Jairus' daughter is sick and that Jairus really needed the Lord. There was no accident here. Jesus has the answer to all of your problems, all that you're going through. And he said, come to me, who are weary and heavy burdens. Come and find rest for your soul. Come and find rest for your soul. Psalm 62, it said, my soul find rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Do you hear that? I will never be shaken when you find rest in God alone. Yes, we have tears. We have sickness. A songwriter by the name of Eric Clapton. Have you heard? Have some of you heard of that? Do you know the song, Tears in Heaven? Do you know why he wrote that song? A tragic death of his son, correct? And he wrote that song. Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? He said, I must be strong and carry on. Well, I'm not sure if Eric Clapton knows the Lord or not, but Revelations promises that God will wipe away what? Every tears in our eyes. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Men and women, we too can have hope. We too can have joy. It is not just to say for us, it is well with my circumstances, but we could say it is well with my soul. For the Lord is asking us, don't be afraid, just believe. Will you believe him today? Will you believe in his words? Will you know that our God is the master over sickness and death? Give it all to him. To God be the glory. Amen. Friends, Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Celebrating communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, all those who believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him are welcome. You are children of God. This is not our church table. This is the table of God in which all God's people, you and I, are welcome to take. And the grace that is always, always greater than all of our sins. That's God's grace. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. Lord, we know that you are here with us.